that man. Can we go through these moves tomorrow again?
Of course. In fact, I insist on it. You're still weak, although you're well ahead of the curve.
Thanks, Tanner. Do you mind if I ask how you know these things?
I thought back to the documents I had found in the envelope. I was a personal security consultant.
And?
I smiled ruefully, wondering how much she knew about the contents of that envelope. And some other things.
They told me you were a soldier.
Yes, I think I was. But then almost everyone alive on Sky's Edge had some connection to the war. It wasn't something you stayed out of easily. The attitude was, if you weren't part of the solution, you were part of the problem. If you didn't sign up for one side, you were considered by default to have sympathies with the other. That was an oversimplification, of course, since it ignored the fact that the aristocratic rich could buy neutrality off the shelf like a new outfit. But for the average non-wealthy peninsula citizen, it wasn't so far from the truth.
You seem to be remembering well now.
It's beginning to come back. Having a look at my personal possessions certainly helped. She nodded encouragingly, and I felt the tiniest stab of remorse at lying to her. The pictures had done very much more than just jog my memory, but for the moment I chose to maintain the illusion of partial amnesia. I just hoped Amelia was not shrewd enough to see through my subterfuge, but I would be careful not to underestimate the mendicants in any of the moves that lay ahead. I was indeed a soldier, but as I had also inferred from the slew of passports and ID documents in the envelope, soldiering was nowhere near the end of my talents, merely the cord around which my other skills orbited. Not everything had come into absolutely sharp focus yet, but I knew a lot more than I had the day before. I'd been born into a family at the low end of the aristocratic wealth scale, not actively poor, but consciously struggling to maintain any facade of wealth. We'd lived in Nueva Iquique, on the southeastern shore of the peninsula. It was a fading settlement, buffered from war by a range of treacherous mountains, sleepy and dispassionate even in the war's darkest years. Northerners would often sail down the coast and put into Nueva Iquique without fear of violence, even when we were technically enemies, and intermarriage between flotilla lines was not uncommon. I grew up able to read the enemy's hybrid language with almost the same fluency I read ours. To me it seemed strange that our leaders inspired us to hate these people. Even the history books agreed that we'd been united when the ships left Mercury. But then so much had happened. As I grew older, I began to see that while I had nothing against the genes or beliefs of those who were allied within the Northern Coalition, they were still our enemies. They'd committed their share of atrocities just as we had. While I might not have despised the enemy, I still had a moral duty to bring the war to a conclusion as swiftly as possible by aiding our side in victory. So at the age of 22, I signed up for the Southland Militia. I wasn't a natural soldier, but I learned quickly. You had to, especially if you were thrown into live combat only a few weeks after handling your first gun. I turned out to be a proficient marksman. Later, with proper training, I became an exceptional one, and it was my extreme good fortune that my unit happened to need a sniper. I remembered my first kill, or multiple killing as it turned out. We were perched high in jungle-enshrouded hills, looking down at a clearing where NC troops were offloading supplies from a ground-effect transport. With ruthless calm, I lined up the gun, squinting into the sight, aligning the crosshairs one at a time on each man in the unit. The rifle was loaded with subsonic micro-munitions, completely silent and with a programmed detonation delay of 15 seconds, time enough to put a gnat-sized slug in every